Welcome to episode 328 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, Donna, and George. We believe that travel inspiration can come from anywhere, even those get-to-know-you games that make us groan when the boss breaks them out in meetings. So we thought it would be fun to do one tonight.
Make me groan.
So we're doing a version of Two Truths and a Lie with a travel focus. And this week, we're going to see how well you know Paris. So let's get started.
Okay, I'm just going to interrupt right now. If our listening audience loves this, it was my idea. If you hate it, it was Sandy's idea.
I'll second that. No,
it was really Sandy's idea, no matter what.
Thank you.
We'll see how this
and
goes.
And stay tuned for the upcoming Pittsburgh episode.
Wow. Just right away, out the gate, Sandy.
Out the gate. I had to. Well, I didn't get it in there last time, so.
These are really hard. This is not, really? Not going to be easy.
Sandy, what prize are you offering us? Is this a cash prize?
So whoever wins can come have a soak in the hot tub.
Ooh, that is right up my alley.
Lindsay and George are like,
I will take you up on that one.
Are you paying for our plane tickets?
No. But you can come. You can come here. And you can
this is like, let's make a deal, and that's the zonk.
Because
you win, but you can't use it.
Hey, it's a really nice hot tub, George.
George, for the next time we play this game, you need some sound effects.
I'm going to go download I think I already have the buzzer from Price is Right somewhere.
All right, sweet. All right, Sandy,
alrighty.
Let's make this happen.
I'm going to ask the question, and then I'll let you each tell me what you think is the answer, and then I will tell you the correct answer. And then if you want a little bit of, digging deeper into the other factoids, then I can try to do that too.
Okay, so you're gonna call on us when it's our turn, right? We're not gonna talk over each other, right?
Yeah, I'll call on you guys. Yeah. All right, so first question. Paris is called the City of Lights because, number one, the Enlightenment period. Number two, it was the first city to get streetlights. Or number three, Tesla was living there when he invented the light bulb. And I'm gonna call on George first because he doesn't talk as much.
Let's go with Tesla and the light bulb.
You think that's the lie?
Oh, I have to guess the wrong one.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. One of these is wrong?
Yeah, two truths and a lie.
Oh.
yeah, I'm going to guess Tesla and the light bulb is the lie.
Okay. Elizabeth, what do you think?
The Enlightenment period. Number
one. All right, Lindsay?
It's not a yard sale, Lindsay. Just pick one.
She really wants to soak in the hot tub.
The competitive side is coming
I'm gonna go with the lightning period because if Tesla invented the light bulb there, then they would be the first city to get street lights. I don't know. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
All right, Donna.
I'm going with Tesla.
All right, ding, ding, ding. George and Donna, you got it. Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
That's wrong.
Okay. I don't think he had anything to do with the light bulb, did he?
I mean, unless you think he stole Edison's.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he has something to do with the light bulb.
Look, I'm pretty proud that I don't believe that Tesla is a car. It's just a car. I'm just happy that.
Tesla, that's a really great story. Like, that's something for a whole other podcast that is not our area of expertise. And I think that George and I were distracted by all of George's typing. That's what I think.
So the Enlightenment period, it was kind of this period from what I was reading, it was kind of like moving away from being very
like
religious.
Like drunk history without the alcohol people.
Well, Paris was a huge part of the Enlightenment period. And it was one of the first cities to get streetlights when gas lamps
were
invented.
So are you saying that the Enlightenment period gave Paris the name City of Lights? Like,
yeah, it's one of the reasons they said.
Interesting.
In the article I read. Yeah.
On Wikipedia? Okay, cool.
On Wikipedia. No, it wasn't Wikipedia. It was like 10 fun facts about Paris.
Quick, Elizabeth, get on there and change it real quick.
I know. All right. I'll get the rest of them.
I would love to have some feedback from the audience about some. Maybe I do need to like reference some, like talk to some of our research librarian friends when I do this.
Yes,
again.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, that came up a couple times. So the Enlightenment period is true. Okay. All right. So now we're going to Notre Dame, and I did not ask any Hunchback of Notre Dame questions, but
that would be fact, Disney.
Huh?
That would be Disney.
That would be out yeah. there.
All right. So number one of the bells of Notre Dame is named Emmanuel. Number two, the Roman Catholic Church owns Notre Dame. Or number three, the twin towers of Notre Dame are the same height. And we're going to go to Donna first this time.
I want to say, I don't think the Roman Catholic Church owns Notre Dame. I think it's possessed by the Catholic Church, but not owned by.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Check my dictionary on that. Was this before or after fire? I think it's number three. And after fire, I'm pretty sure it's three.
Okay. Lindsay? Is she frozen?
I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to, like, why did I not learn any of this when I was there?
Because they didn't teach us in a bar? I know.
There is no bar in Notre Dame. I looked when I was there.
George said it's because they don't teach it in a bar.
I know. I was there pre-fire and there was no bar in Notre Dame. Mm.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure
they drink wine.
Yeah,
in
I know they drink wine there.
All right, Lindsay, what's your stalling? So, what's your answer?
I really think, so I maybe it's the Catholic in me, but I feel like the Roman Catholic Church owns everything. I don't know. I'm going to say the Roman Catholic Church doesn't own Notre Dame. I don't know. I'm going to go against the grain.
So number two is a lie. There.
Number two is a lie.
Okay, George,
I'd like to think there's a bell named Emmanuel.
I'm going to say it's number one, that the bell doesn't have a name. And if it did, it's not Emmanuel.
Okay, so I realized as I was reading this question that I messed up.
Oh, no. Are they all lies?
I gave you guys one truth and two lies.
All right, here you go. Ready?
And this is why we never have a game show.
Yes.
The truth is that one of the bells is named Emmanuel.
I kind of had a feeling that.
There you go.
Okay.
The Roman Catholic Church runs Notre Dame, but it is owned by the state. And the Twin Towers are not the same height. And Elizabeth, the article I was reading was after the fire, and it was kind of, I don't think the Twin Towers were affected by the fire, but I could be wrong about
that. I thought one of them actually collapsed, but you could be right. There's a lot that's happened since that fire, so it's totally possible.
Actually,
it's only April of 2019.
Right. It feels like a decade ago.
I know the rose window is still there, right?
Yes.
The spire fell. There was a really good factoid about the spire and how there was a rooster on top of it that is a lightning rod for the souls or something like that. Ooh. I was like, ooh, that would be a good one. And I could just change the bird. But there's a peacock on top of Notre Dame. But I don't know about the lightning rod for the souls thing. That was kind of like, okay, I felt like I would need to look and see if that was referenced in more than one place.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like,
no, I didn't include that.
I feel like the next time we do this, we need to have it done by another party. We need to have it curated by a historian or something. Cause I want to hear the made up excuses that Sandy has for why.
I think we will take turns writing it so that Sandy can play sometimes. Very
that'd be
smart.
Fun. But honestly, this was kind of, I kind of did it a little bit on the fly, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to write these.
Clearly, since you forgot that it was two truths and a lie.
I was like, oh yeah, the two of those are lies.
So is that the all order right. like that?
Wait, so who's winning? Is somebody keeping score?
I have two.
Donna's winning. Donna's like, I'm keeping score.
No, Donna.
Because I want to go sit in that hot tub. Yeah,
she's one of the people that could actually come to the hot tub, yeah. too.
Here's, well,
darn tootin'.
I hate to break it to you, Donna, but I'll be there too.
Like, even if I lose, I'll be that's in right. the hot
tub. All right, next.
Okay. All right. So Moulin Rouge. All right. Number one, Moulin Rouge uses so many feathers in their costumes that they own their own feather company. Number two, famous performers like Frank Sinatra and Madonna have performed there. Madonna performed like a virgin there. And number three, the iconic high leg kick used to be used as a warning to men who tried to take liberties with the dancers. So, Lindsay. You first.
So am I picking out a lie or the mm-hmm. only truth?
You're picking out a lie.
Assuming that she did it right this time.
I was really hoping you were going to try to say that Frank, because when how you wrote this, it read like Frank Sinatra performed like a virgin. So I'm going to say, I really want it to be true that the high leg kick was used to warn men. But I don't think it was. I think it's so they could see things they shouldn't be looking at. So I think that's the lie. I think the high leg kick is a lie.
All right.
I don't know.
George.
This is a tough one. I can't believe that they'd buy their own feather company because that just doesn't make sense. And I don't see Frank Sinatra and Madonna doing like a virgin together. So I guess I'm doing three, the lie leg kick.
Well, it's two truths and a lie, so only one of them is a lie.
I know. They all seem funny. You sure you did this one right, Sandy?
So you're going with three?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with three.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Elizabeth, what do you think?
I think it's three. I don't think Moulin Rouge is a big place for famous performers, but I think it's possible. So I'm just going to go with three.
All right, Donna, what do you think?
I think they don't own a feather company.
All right, so.
We all got it wrong.
Frank Sinatra has performed there, but Madonna.
Ah, it was a trick.
And they do own a feather company and sequins.
Yeah.
Which is kind
that
of fabulous.
That doesn't surprise me. As someone who has dealt with costuming before, that does not surprise me.
So the high leg kick was used as a warning to men who were trying to take liberties with the dancers. Go, ladies. No wonder they would kick so high.
Yes.
I mean.
And the threat was that they would kick their bowler hats off their heads.
That's not what they should be kicking. Just saying.
They should be kicking lower.
Although, when you said that about
like not being able to see something, there was something about how the high leg kick got kind of scandalous because the pantaloons were it's a family show, and I told Chris I probably couldn't talk about it.
but I remember it being very taboo, like even with Can-Can girls showing their little
right. I mean, I think it's kind of ironic that was like it was a warning and yet it was also an enticement.
No.
Yes. You can have this. No, interesting. Well, I am so losing. I'm 3 for 3.
Elizabeth, I really, really hate to tell you this, but you are the only one keeping score.
No, Donna is too. No, Donna is. I know. Donna would be, even if she were losing.
I want that hot.
All right, moving on.
All right, here we go. The catacombs. This is one of my bucket list things. I really want to see the catacombs. All right, so the catacombs were created to ease overcrowded cemeteries. You can swim in the catacombs. And there are party rooms in the catacombs. And for a fee, you can spend the night. George, what do you think?
Two. There's no swimming in the catacombs.
Okay. Lindsay.
I'm going to say two. No swimming in the catacombs.
Elizabeth?
Two. Definitely two.
Donna?
Would you really want to swim
no.
in the catacombs?
No. But I wouldn't want to spend the night there either. Right.
I do know there are human beings who would.
Yes. So, no, I'm going with the swimming.
Okay, so you can swim. It's not like you can pay someone to go swimming, but people swim in the catacombs.
Well, that doesn't mean it's legal.
I didn't say it was legal, but you can swim.
So wait, which one is the lie?
The lie is that for a fee, you can spend the night. There's no hotel in the catacombs.
Oh, but there are
party rooms.
All right, we see how Sandy plays this game. She gives you a half truth.
Yeah,
hey, I wanted to make it challenging, you know.
So you could park all night and not spend the night, but you still are there all night.
Oh. So it's funny about the party rooms. Yeah, there are. And they have found like movie rooms with projectors and all kinds of stuff down there.
All right, you ready? Really... Here's how we did on that last one.
Yeah.
We can't hear it.
Oh, are you kidding?
Wah, wah. Wah, wah. We can do it though. You're gonna have to find a way to tune into the
sound. Gotta get the little Jeopardy thing because I have a problem making choices. So you can be like,
I still been thinking.
You have a want want sound, George?
I have the Price is Right, the Price is Right losing horn.
Maybe you can edit it
that's
in later.
Weird.
The zonk. You need to get the zonk.
We'll work out the technical difficulties later. Yeah. All right, next one.
Okay. All right, so I think this is the last one. Yeah. Okay, so Versailles. This is another bucket list for me. All right, number one, the Palace of Versailles became a museum after the French Revolution and was the place where World War I ended. Number two, Versailles is located near a river because King Louis XIV wanted hundreds of fountains. Or number three, the palace gardens were open to everyone, but there was a strict dress code, but you could rent an outfit. Elizabeth.
I feel like it's one of the ones that's like a half truth and a half lie again. I think maybe number three. I think the gardens were open to everybody, but I don't know that you could rent an outfit.
All right, Donna, what do you think?
I'm thinking number three too, because they're just not going to let the riffraff in.
All right, Lindsay, what do you think?
Number three, they weren't really inclusive back then.
George?
Well, I don't think it's one because I remember hearing about the Treaty of Versailles. So I'm thinking that one's very legit. Good. I have no idea if it's near a river. So
I've been there and I don't know if it's near a river.
I know.
I don't remember seeing a river. Maybe.
I remember the French kings being a lot of things, but really nice and letting you in and rent an outfit. I'm not buying that one. So I'm going to say it's two.
Okay, well, according to the article I read, you could rent an outfit.
And what year was this?
I mean, if it was last year, maybe.
Well, no, I've been there, and I assure you there was no strict dress code where you had to rent an outfit. So it's not my lifetime.
So according to the website I referenced, which is discoverwalks.com, the palace was not restricted only for the king and his court. Everyone could freely visit the palace and walk its gardens. Nonetheless, there was one condition: you needed to be well-dressed. If you did not have a proper outfit, you could rent one at the entrance of the palace. Elegance was essential in the Palace of Versailles. Whoever did not follow these rules was not allowed to walk the palace.
I believe that. So,
one of the cool things too about the fountains, it wasn't near a river, and they had to basically create this aqueduct system to have these fountains that the king wanted. And it was so hard and it used so much water that they would only turn on the fountains that he was near. And when he was walking, they would turn off the ones that he had already walked
past. So the lie is that Versailles is located near a river. Is that what you're saying?
That's the lie. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I made this kind of sneaky with the half truths. Yeah.
Why?
Have any of y'all been to Versailles?
Yeah.
You said you've been there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Lindsay was going to ask a very
deep question. My volume stopped working.
I was going to ask a question.
Because Lindsay nodded off mid-question.
Because I've also been to like the replicas of Versailles. One of the castles in... Germany that's kind of like a tribute to Versailles. Yeah. And I thought I learned like another piece of trivia about Versailles there that I can't remember because apparently my brain is mush. I'll remember it right after we're done recording.
That's what all drinking at the bar at Notre Dame will do to you.
Yeah, right. All that wine for communion. And I would love it, you know, honestly, if any of our listeners think that I got any of this wrong, please. It was all internet research. So leave us comments, let us know. Cause you know, this, like I said, I did it kind of on the fly, but yeah, I thought
we're not historians. Clearly
the Madonna Like a Virgin one, Elizabeth, I thought you would pick up on that because of Moulin Rouge, the musical.
Well, it, I mean, honestly, I was trying to resolve whether or not Frank Sinatra had played there, because I feel like Madonna would have, I mean, whether she performed Like a Virgin there, like if she performed there, sure, she would have performed Like a Virgin there. Like,
you got me on that one, because
that totally, and I wouldn't put it past Frank Sinatra either. I just, Moulin Rouge is not generally like a famous person.
But it said Frank Sinatra did.
Frank Sinatra. Yes, I know. That's why, there.
Yeah, I know.
I think I've seen a picture of Frank Sinatra in Moulin Rouge at one point in time. So
I totally believe that he went there. I have no problem believing that. So, yeah, no, well. I did know that they own their own feather company, though. Their costuming is pretty, yeah. It's easier elaborate. When you just...
Oh, you knew that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I kept, when I was researching that part, I kept thinking, can.
Yeah.
Need to watch
this
that.
This is going to be so much fun. I'm already thinking about, like, the cities that I want to write things for.
Yeah. Or when we're like traveling, we can be like, oh, this will be a good one.
Now you'll have to listen to that tour guide.
We just can't make it as hard as we made that that scavenger hunt that never happened at Disney, because we realized nobody was going to know we're like the third bolt on the fourth leg of the.
Well, we also can't do a lot of these half truths, because that's just not fun.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Not fun, okay. Sandy, we didn't have fun. You could tell from all the
laughing. Didn't have fun. Sounded like y'all had fun.
So Donna, when are we coming over for the hot tub over there? We could show up tonight. Yeah. All right, cool.
Her hot tub's big enough. We could probably invite all of our listeners.
Actually, I think I didn't get a single one of those right. So you have like the winner and the loser coming over for hot tub.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.